Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 306, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Knicks fans pumped, Met fans pumped, Yankee fans not so much. In disarray. Season's falling apart. As they got beat 9-7 by the New York Mets last night, and it really wasn't that close. I know Judge hits a grand slam late, but the Mets had their way with the New York Yankees, had the way with Cole, who, coming back, and you just heard him in the clip there. I mean, I could listen to him talk baseball and pitching for hours. It's his first start back. I'm not really worried about Cole. That's the part of the game, especially going against this good Yankee, this Met team and their lineup that's just been on fire. I'm not so concerned about Cole. I'm looking more at later today. Luis Gil's start today is going to be much more something I'll look at then Cole working his way back. They probably rushed him because of the Petit injury. Not so concerned about Cole. But that was a great performance. I mean, Vientos with two bombs. Four home runs overall. Even Bader gets in the act against the former Yankees, his former team. And they just pounded Cole. They pounded the Yankees. The Yankees played bad defense. The Yankees made bad decisions. The Yankees didn't hustle. And right now, Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu are real problems. And the back end of this roster is no doubt problems. And, you know, the Gleyber Torres thing for me is I've defended this guy and he pissed me off last night. Of course. Like, we're all pissed off watching it. I'm disgusted with Gleyber. That at bat in the first, that first inning really is the microcosm of the whole game. And then they come back in the first and score a run. Verdugo makes a good play at the plate, but he can't hit right now, and it's nobody but the top three. And even Juan Soto got in the act of bothering me last night. I can't imagine that. I'm sure there's many of you old school baseball guys who go, "Hey, listen, the third baseman's paying back. He thought he had a single. You take the hit." No, I'm sorry, you do not. Juan Soto should not be bunting in the first inning. I was through the roof. I could not believe what I saw. I was actually a few minutes late. I was having a catch with my son out in the backyard, and time got away from me. I ran in. I was like 4 or 5 minutes late to the game. So I'm like fast forwarding a little bit, and I fast forward too much, and I stopped it, and I had to go back and rewind it. I was like, did he just freaking bunt? He did not just bunt. Please tell me he didn't bunt. I know I'm harping on it. He ends up getting on base anyway. It made me feel like Juan Soto and the New York Yankees are panicking. That's a panic move. Let me take the bunt. Let me take the single. Go beat Juan Soto and smack the ball. Hit the home run like you did later in the game. Break this game open. Have a big inning. You're bunting. I could not believe my eyes that he bunted. And then, of course, the strike. Boom, boom, boom. To quote the great Mike Francesa. Bink. Bink, bink. Gleyber Torres with a hideous at-bat. Struck out. Verdugo, strikeout. J.D. Martinez. Do you know there's a J.D. and a D.J. for both teams in the series?
Gary Cohn mentioned it on SNY. There was one game where D.J. Stewart hit right behind J.D. Martinez. And then tonight for the Yankees, D.J. LeMahieu was hitting right after J.D. Davis.
Very, very weird. Very, very weird. Like, The Jets and how many Michael Carters they had. But yeah, a lot of DJs and JDs. But I mean, just atrocious. Atrocious to bad after atrocious to bad. And I'm not going to get too much on JD Davis. It's his first game. He hasn't played in a week. I wasn't expecting much. And we got to understand, same thing, like, here's the one thing, though, and I'll say the Yankee fans aren't going to want to hear this kind of thing. Last night was not the World Series. I know you want to win. I'm frustrated by it. But Why not take Cole out earlier? Because you're trying to get Cole going and you're trying to make sure he throws enough pitches. You're trying to build up Cole. Getting Cole right is more important than this game last night. It is. I know nobody wants to hear that. It is. You can't take Cole out of that game and have him throw 50 pitches because now how many can he throw next start? You got to leave him out there. He had absolutely nothing. I would have liked to have taken him out if the game meant that. It doesn't. Making sure Cole ramps up a little bit and gets and is better for his next start is just as important. You got to get him going. And, you know, the lineup situation, I had I have no problem hitting. Let me make this clear, too, because I know everybody's on it. A million people tweeted at me. I have no problem hitting Gleyber Torres cleanup. None. They don't have a better option. I know that sounds crazy. And I know watching the game, the other night, you know, I was at Yankee Stadium when he got two hits and one down the line that scored a run on the Stanton injury. Like, and as much as we hate him, he's 27 years old. And we talk as if Gleyber Torres has not been good since 2019. That is not true. He was very good last year. Very good. That doesn't change the fact he's god-awful right now, and it's not a small stretch. It's half a season. He's been god-awful. And I'm concerned he'll be god-awful the entire year, of course. But what other options do you have? And I also think it's a bit of a challenge. Here we go. We lost Stanton. Enough of this. You can't be miserable all year. You're 27 years old. You're in the prime of your career. It's a walk year. Go do something. We need you. You're our cleanup hitter, bro. Wake the hell up. And instead, he folded. Instead, he whimpered out. Instead, he tucked his tail between his legs and moped. And there is nothing worse than watching players mope on the field. And LeMahieu did it too. And Boone has got to get his act together and get their act together because moping doesn't help. And you got to get these guys in the right frame of mind. But I have no problem hitting Gleyber Torres cleanup. Everyone's screaming about it. Who do you want to hit cleanup? J.D. Davis? Jones? D.J. LeMahieu? Oh, you got to hit Verdugo? Okay. Then you hit him fifth. And Torres still comes up in a spot with bases loaded. Like, it is what it is. He's in the middle of the lineup right now. There's nobody else. Especially against left-handed pitching. Hitting him cleanup isn't the problem. Him sucking is the problem. He needs to come through. Larry in Florida. What's up, Larry?
Hey, C-Mac.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I hear you ragging on Cleveland's AL Central. You guys are 17-2 against the Central.
That's right.
You build your record up on the Central, not no. Cleveland. Cleveland's
11-6. Well, no, what are you talking about? The Yankees beat Cleveland 2 out of 3. But yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
You got that.
I was laying the sarcasm on pretty thick, Larry. I don't know if you're aware, but everywhere I turn, people make that case that the Yankees haven't beaten anybody good. And then when I say Cleveland, they go, yeah, but the American League Central doesn't count. So I was being sarcastic because, yeah, Cleveland's good. Cleveland's damn good. And I don't know why we, the Yankee fans, don't want to, you know, that's all. Right now, they're terrible. I'm just having a little bit of fun with the picking and choosing on who the Yankees play and which series we can glean importance from and which ones we can dismiss. And it sounds like anytime the Yankees play the Central because they've won, we can dismiss it. So I'm just having a little bit of fun. But right now they're in a. I don't care who if they played the Kansas City Royals tomorrow. Who's going to win? The Yankees or the Kansas City Royals? Tell you right now, my money would be on the Kansas City Royals. Tell you that right now. It's not always about who you're playing. It's about how you're playing. And right now, the Yankees are playing like trash. Absolute garbage. I don't trust the bullpen. You don't trust the bottom of the lineup. The entire, after 4-9, I don't trust. That's what it's about. And that's why I just get a kick out of it when people pick and choose. And this is just me, you know, picking arguments. It doesn't matter in the scheme of things of how the Yankees are playing. But I think it's funny. People go, oh, look at all the series that were, the only series that were important the Yankees lost. And I'm like, what about Cleveland? Well, Cleveland's not important. No, they only have the best record in the American League. Clearly not important. They have a terrible, how come they're under 500 against playoff teams? Well, actually, no, they're not. When you look at the actual teams that are in the playoffs right now, they have a winning record. Oh, well, I don't count the American League Central. Oh, we don't count the American League Central. Okay, good. But that doesn't change the fact that the Yankees have holes and they're terrible right now, and Gleyber Torres is a freaking disaster. Kenny in Brooklyn, what's up, Kenny?
See, Mac, nice to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too, buddy. What's going on?
Okay, I have 2 points on the Knicks and 2 points on the Yankees, if I can. Okay, the first thing, Leon Rose, the general manager with the Knicks, this guy is not Red Auerbach, first of all. So we have totally different opinions on the trade and everything else about the Knicks. So
okay, please, tell me how the trade's bad.
Okay, first of all, he's not a great general manager. First of all, he's drafted Kevin Knox and Obi Toppin.
No, he didn't.
Lottery picks. Total bust.
He didn't draft Knox. He drafted Obi Toppin. He didn't draft Knox.
Okay. He made a couple of bad free agents. Let's talk about the trade, first of all.
The team hasn't won in 20 years. He's come here and made them arguably the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Made him better. No, he made him better. I mean, it's not hard to make a lousy team like that better. I mean, you have to be a real incompetent buffoon not to make them better.
Okay, so then I guess the greatest coach in NBA history is a total buffoon. Like, it's not as easy as you think. He made them not just better. You could argue if without the injuries, they were the second best team in the Eastern Conference last year.
Horrendous.
I don't care. I don't care. That's their peers.
Every other
GM is a buffoon.
No, I understand. There are a lot of bad general managers. I agree with you on that. Okay. In all sports, a lot of incompetence. So, first of all, giving up six first-round picks, is no other team would do that, first of all. They were talking to a lot of other teams.
Mm-hmm.
They give up six first-round picks for a number three option who's a blending player? That's insane.
I think that's a mischaracterization of him.
Bridges is a mediocre player. He's not that good. I've been watching NBA for 50 years, Chris.
He's way better than mediocre. He's not a superstar. Okay. I'll give you. He's not a superstar, and that's genuinely – I will agree with you on this. Generally, superstars get six first-round picks. Totally agree.
Exactly.
So he is not a superstar.
I watched a lot of Knicks games last year.
On a miserable team, though.
Bridges didn't even look like he was on the floor. I said, this guy hurt. Where is he? The guy completely dogged it with the Nets last year. He didn't even try. He wanted to get away from the Nets, mm-hmm. so open and get to the Knicks. He didn't even put an effort. I'd be worried about a play like that. That's a low character.
Yeah, it won't. I'm not worried about it because of Jalen Brunson. I'm not.
He
was asked to be the leader of that team. Jalen Brunson's the leader of this one, and Jalen Brunson holds him accountable. There's no doubt in my mind.
When Kevin applies to school, so he wants to play a certain hard-nosed defense.
Yeah.
The guy may not like it. He may dog it a little bit. He may want to be traded.
I think he knows exactly what
down the road for this.
I think I know. I think he knows exactly what he's getting into with this coach. He wanted to come here. Okay. He's got three of his buddies, including arguably the best leader this team has seen since, you know, in 30 years. And every single player evaluation for them that the Knicks have had over the last handful of years, had an OG Anunoby come in here and fit seamlessly and turn them into the best team in the Eastern Conference for a month.
So as far as Obi goes, that was a great trade for Toronto. Getting rid of a guy who's injury prone, who's going to be a free agent to get two starters back. They made a move to go.
If he doesn't get hurt, they're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. Every once in a while,
I know.
Got to go for it. You can't just sit back forever and not take a chance.
Chris, the guy's in the prime of his career. He looks like he's in good shape. He's hurt all the time.
I understand that. It's a concern.
He's not going to get. He gets older. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And also, you have a big contract. Also,
okay. Yeah, I get that. But again, what are you going to do with those picks? The Knicks are going to be good.
Well,
The Knicks still have five picks over the next 3 years.
Chris, Billy King with the Nets had the same mindset. He said, "What are first round picks? They meaningless." So he trades for Pierce and for Garnett. And he gives up Tatum and Brown.
I understand. Okay. I know you want to talk, and I'm going to let you talk. Yeah. And I've talked over you a couple times, but that's because you don't stop talking. So let's have a conversation. Okay. Here we go. I know I'm going to give you plenty of time. It's 3:20 in the morning. As long as you're making good points, we got plenty of time.
I'm losing a lot of sleep.
here's the point. Okay. You just mentioned two players who are at the end of their careers. Yeah, right, once it went bad with the Nets, those picks became valuable. Right. The Knicks have Brunson's 27 years old. Bridges is now 28 years old. They're going to be in the prime. This team is not going anywhere. They might not win the NBA championship, but they're not. Those picks are going to be back end of the first round picks.
No, you don't know that. No one Rose are also young, but he. Tipping on Brunson's plays into the ground. He had a lot of little injuries. Brunson, he's going to eventually blow out his ACL. Something's going to go wrong because he runs his plays into the ground. And you saw what he did with Noah, who's a great defensive player, great rebounder. The guy couldn't even walk when he retired. Rosie destroyed his career by blowing out his ACL. I'm telling you, you're going to have a couple of major injuries here, and the team's not going to be as good as you think they are every year. And some of these picks may be lottery picks.
I doubt very much they're lottery picks. I just think that the value of the picks...
Later picks, not right away. Down the road picks.
Yeah, no.
Because the injuries that are going to come.
Okay. And then you got to make sure, not only do the picks have to be valuable, then you got to draft the right players. Because you just mentioned drafting Knox and Obi Toppin. Are the Nets not above bad draft picks? So not only do the picks then have to become valuable, but you also have to pick the right players with them. And again, I think that was a gross mischaracterization of what McBride is. I mean, excuse me, they should have got McBride. They should have gotten some players back. What Bridges is. Bridges is not a third option blend-in player. He's going to blend in because he's going to fit into his buddies. But he is a legit premium scorer. He can shoot. He can score. He's gonna play now with Randall. It's a lot of guys, right? We've seen, I don't think you absolutely need to get scoring from Brunson to implement his game. Like, you don't need to score 40 points if you're Jalen Brunson to impact the game and be a leader and be a superstar. I understand that, you know, Randall needs the ball a little bit, and McBride needs to I keep calling him McBride because it's McHale. Bridges needs to shoot a little bit, but I think they can find a way to make the basketball work. They'll play defense if OG Anunoby stays healthy. That's a scare. It's a worry how unhealthy he's been and how injury prone he's been. But I'm sorry, I can't get hung up on trading away draft picks. I know it's a lot. It is. The number is a lot. But I mean, one's Milwaukee, and that's protected in the top four, and they have Giannis. The other four, I'm telling you, I expect the Knicks to be fairly good for the next five, 6 years. I really do. Next 4 or 5 years minimum. Then I don't think any of these picks are going to be lottery picks. Maybe the 31 at the end of it, but I really don't think they're going to be lottery picks. And you can get a player back. I have a real problem with it. I have a real problem with it if I'm a Nets fan. Val in the Bronx, what's up, Val?
Brother Mac, how you doing, Dunn? Thanks for standing up, bro.
Oh, you got it. What's up?
I'm going to call and I'm going to give you some Knicks stuff. I'm going to stay away from the Yankees. New York does not want to hear me whine about it. And I don't want to even give the Mets fan the satisfaction. Happy for you. Good Vientos. Yo, two homers. Good game, bro. Good game. We lost that one and we still stuck in our rough patch. I'm going to get to my good news. Leon Rose must be a closeted Yankees fan. Because he just, like, he did everything he could to do the PR stuff with the damage control for us tomorrow on the back page.
The back pages don't exist anymore, but yeah, go ahead.
That Mikel, oh my God. I told you Booker yesterday, and the only reason why Bridges wasn't on my radar was because I never thought that the dynamic that would be the Knicks and the Nets making that trade would have ever happened. We were talking about that even during the trade deadline during last season, and everybody's like, that'll never happen. Never happen. I'm just so pleased for two reasons that happened. One, that stuff that guy was talking about before, I totally disagree with that. 15 feet and out, he's got mid-range, he's got outside. The only thing that I don't give him is the above the rim game. And we got other hot flyers on the squad that he doesn't have to do that. So I don't even worry about that. He fits in with the as far as the compliment to the guys, that the chemistry, as far as like knowing these guys, playing with them already, all of that is like, any questions that I had with Booker coming here and if he could fit in, all of that is a non-issue because we're talking about somebody who was already fit in with who's there.
No doubt.
And the second point that's the most beautiful thing about it is in everything that I ever spoke to you about as far as the Knicks acquiring somebody, I was always concerned about us trying to hold on to the rotation and the group that we have right now. And they managed to do that. The same thing that you're talking about with them picks. If they do what they're supposed to do, what this has the potential to be, the picks turn out to be kind of, not that they don't have value because draft picks always have value, but that's that purgatory, you know, medium round of the draft where you're not sure what you're getting. So if we jump out of that with Bridges on our side, beautiful. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Ah. And I thank you so much for standing up because it's a great trade. I don't even think that, I'm not even worried about it being an overvalue as far as how many picks they gave up. Like you said, over the next few years, them things could turn out to be, you know, not that they nothing, but whatever.
Right, well, listen, thank you, Val. From the Nets standpoint, sure. Could they hit on one of those picks late in the... Right, but it's just the value of them isn't worth trading them to the Knicks, specifically. To watch him go to the Knicks and possibly win and give them that final piece while you flounder in, you know, nothingness and fade away while the... I mean, you're trying to build a fan base here on some level, right? Try and do something. And you allow, you know, this guy to go to the Knicks for draft picks on a team that's probably going to be good? Sure. Is there a chance that, A, the Knicks aren't as good as we think in a couple of years and the picks are higher than we think? Okay, yeah. I don't think so, but plausible. Is there a chance they find someone with the 27th pick in the draft, the 28th pick in the draft? Is it possible they find someone there who becomes a superstar? Of course. We've seen Jokic is a second-round pick. So it's not that they have no value. The value isn't worth trading them to the Knicks. And then for the Knicks, yeah, it's a lot of picks for a player who, without question, is not a superstar, but he is far better than a blend-in player. He fits into this team. I mean, if you want to call him a blend-in player, he'll fit in with this group who he's been, you know, who he's best friends with. And anything, you want to call him a dog, you want to call him, you know, when he was playing out the stretch of a season with a losing team like the Nets, fair. And that should never be accepted. I'm not saying that's okay. What do you expect? You should be better than that. Fine. That will never happen here with Josh Hart on this team. It will never happen here with Jalen Brunson on this team. It'll never happen here with Tibbs coaching this team. It won't happen here. I have no doubt of that. He has buddies he's going to be held accountable to. That's what's great about it, too. Like, it's going to fit in, and they're going to... There's no way they're going to allow him to dog it. There's no way. If he had a reputation of that before, if last year was a bit of an up-and-down season, and I know he went through a stretch where he was shooting the ball like crap. I get it. He had an up-and-down year. For a miserable team playing out the stretch of a meaningless season. Now he's going to join a team with his best friends. You think he's not going to be able to give it all? You think they're just going to tolerate that? It won't happen. It won't happen. He is going to be at his best. There is no doubt. Now, could he miss shots? Could he have a bad shooting year? I suppose. But it won't be lack of effort. I have no fear of that. Not with this team. No way. Not with this leadership group and the fact that they're his best friends. No way. I have absolutely no fear of it. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Tim in Williston Park. What's up, Tim?
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. I had a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that potentially with this trade and what already evolved with the Knicks over the course of time in terms of, like, having all Villanova guys on the team, do you think that potentially that could become a new prototype for how to develop a team in terms of, like, for example, if you were to draft, I think Atlanta has the first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to take Stephon Castle and then ultimately build up a number of other guys from UConn, could that potentially be something that becomes a new way?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that even before when it was just the three of them, before the Villanova Four took over. Which, by the way, I cannot wait. I was thinking about this when the trade was made, too. I cannot wait for the first Nick Abbey Road poster with the four of them. Like the Fab Four, them walking across Abbey Road. You know that's coming out. I'm going to have the T-shirt. You know it. as my worlds will collide, that's definitely happening.
Sorry, I know you're a huge Beatles fan, so it just cracks me up.
Yeah, no, I get you. But Yeah, we talked about this prior. I don't think, now it's a copycat league, all sports are, but I don't think that it would be as prevalent, but I would say that I would guess that if you are torn between two players, if you value two players the same, or you have an opportunity to acquire someone, you might either consider his value to be raised coming to play with former teammates, or all things being equal, you would go with the guy who is a former teammate. Like, I could see that, but specifically searching out, trying to, you know, bring a dominant or even a championship team in college and somehow find a way to recreate it in the NBA, I think it's too weird and too difficult to do, and I don't think it'll be something that teams really attempt. I think this is unique. But having said, like, if you have a star player, I don't think there's, I think you might see more guys being willing and more teams being willing to say, hey, look, let's, you know, we need a player who does X, Y, and Z. He's available. He might not be the best player at X, Y, Z available to us, but he's played with him. They have a bond. They have a connection. We might get the best out of this X, Y, Z player. Let's try him as opposed to, you know, trading more assets or spending more money on a different X, Y, Z player. Like, I can see that kind of happening, but trying to literally recreate a championship college team in the NBA, I don't know if it's plausible. It's very odd that they're going to have four players from the same Villanova team. And I actually saw a very funny clip of that circling now of Stephen A. Smith on ESPN back in 2000, and I guess it was 16, previewing the finals, the NCAA championship game between UConn and North Carolina. And Stephen A. Smith is like, this Villanova team does not have a single NBA prospect on the roster. This team does not have a single NBA prospect on the roster. And meanwhile, they've got the entire Knick team, and with talking about it like it's clearly going to be the second best Eastern Conference team in the league. Oh my God, funny. And to that play, to that first call, that other caller's point about Leon Rose, how could you? Like, all right, you want to say he's not the greatest GM in the league, and, you know, you want to downplay the, you know, thank you, Leon Rose, you've saved the franchise a little bit, but how could you say he's done a bad job? Or how could you say it's easy what he did? Easy. It hasn't been done in two decades. I mean, oh, sure, it's easy to improve that, the crap. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. If it was easy, it would have been done before. And he didn't just slightly improve it. I mean, they are now a perennial playoff team, and I think you're going to make a strong case that they are the second-best roster in the Eastern Conference. That's not easy to do. And his player evaluation has been spot on, whether it's Hartenstein, whether it's DiVincenzo, whether it's Josh Hart. All right, the Obi Toppin pick, all right, and Halliburton was still there, right? Okay, Halliburton's the better player. But, I mean, and I didn't even mention Brunson, who came over here and became a superstar. So, like, look at all the additions he's made to this team. He got Brunson, who is far better. He was mocked. The Knicks were mocked on all the talking head shows, on all the ESPN shows, that this was their big move, that they won the Jalen Brunson sweepstakes. And ultra. Yeah, the Knicks won the Jalen Brunson sweepstakes. Can you believe that's a sweepstakes? They were mocked for the move. I don't even know if he's a three, let alone a two. And yet he's emerged to become a superstar and one of the best players in the league. So they've the evaluation on him, the evaluation on DiVincenzo has taken an enormous step with being with the Knicks. Josh Hart came over here and played the best basketball of his career. OG Anunoby came here and transformed the team immediately. Like, his player evaluation has been spot on. I don't know what else he could do barring getting a superstar here, barring the Mitchell trade, which I don't even know what that would. I mean, Leon Rose is by far, and you know who this is coming from. Ready for this? You know what I do. You know what my thing is. You know who I love. Leon Rose is by far the most effective executive in this town right now. It's not close. He has done, over the last couple years, he has been the most effective executive in this town and it's not close. Brian Cashman doesn't come anywhere near being as successful as Leon Rose has been over the last 3 years. Not even close. I mean, you guys want him fired for it. So, I mean, nobody else either. I mean, Drury is about as close. The Garden has it. That's about it. We'll find out if Joe Douglas is ever going to actually win with this quarterback, but it's not Joe Shane. And after, right, until Hard Knocks comes out and convince me he's the best. And it's certainly not Sean Marks. Ron in Freehold, what's up, Ron? What's up, Ron?
How you doing, pal? Hey, all I want to say is that about a month ago, they were talking when the Knicks were coming down to getting eliminated. Evan was like, there's no way my Nets are going to deal him to the Knicks. Never happened. Oh, I can't wait to listen to the show tomorrow.
Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion. Yeah, I mean, the Rico is out now if you want to go listen to it on YouTube. Or there's no way he didn't touch on it. There's no way that Evan did not touch on the Rico.
Okay,
said it was going to be a drive home Rico too, so that should be fun. He'll mention the traffic that he's in. He'll mention how he's an aggressive New York City driver, all the typical stuff he says every time he does a Rico. Someone will come and knock on the door and say, what happened to Big Mac? He was the best part of the show. That'll, you know, stuff like that'll happen. No doubt. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Got you all the way till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show as we talk about the Subway Series, which has a big game for the Yankees tonight and a big game for Luis Gil. A big game. A huge game. And we'll see if Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu are in the lineup after just the embarrassment that they were last night. And then, of course, the Mikal Bridges trade. As the Knicks trade away 6 picks, 4 unprotected, to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for Mikal Bridges, and now it's the Villanova 4. And what, in my estimation, is the second-best team in the Eastern Conference, right behind the champion Boston Celtics. Should be a fun season. Hopefully it'll be a fun game later today.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 342. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. I told you yesterday, and I felt strongly about it, and the Mets are now 1 win away. I mean, I know they care about themselves, and Mets fans are having fun right now, but ultimately it's about how good the Mets are playing, how good that offense has been. Day off tomorrow, and then you're looking to, you know, you play the Astros, which I think we'll all be Mets fans then, no matter whether you're a Yankee or a Mets fan. And then, of course, the two big series, Washington and Pittsburgh. So, you know, the Mets have bigger fish to fry. But if you are a Mets hater, if you are taking joy in me complaining about Gleyber Torres and this lineup and how just it seems as if the Yankees are a bit falling apart. I told you yesterday this could happen. And it hasn't felt like this from the Mets in a while. Like, the Mets have an opportunity to really make the Yankee fans panic. And if they take out Luis Gil tomorrow, if they do what they've done today, if they take out Luis Gil, if they do what they've done against starting pitching over the last specifically 2 weeks, against good starting pitching, if Luis Gil gives you another performance like he gave you against Baltimore last weekend, woo-wee, then that puts 2/5. I mean, because right now you can't trust Cole will be good next start. I trust Cole eventually will figure it out, but I have no idea what he's going to do next. And now you've got Rodon with 2 bad starts. You would have Luis Gil with 2 bad starts. I mean, right now, the only you trust Nestor Cortez at home, at least, and Marcus Stroman. That's it. And that's the strength of the team right now, is the starting rotation. If that starts to really falter, if Luis Gil, who has been an ace all year, who has been one of, if not the best pitcher in the American League, he no longer is after that start, but he's been that all year. If he's completely falling apart, which is what everybody think will be, if he gets beat again by this Met team, they are on the precipice of really, now, not putting a dagger into the actual season of the Yankees, but really questioning them. And I felt like this team yesterday was really questioning themselves. Because, I can't believe Juan Soto bunted in the first inning. I know I've said it a lot. I cannot believe it. I cannot fathom it. It bothered the hell out of me. It just absolutely bothered the hell out of me. And, of course, Gleyber Torres. And that's the fear of this offense right now. And that's the fear dating back to 2 years ago, because that's what it became. And right now, at least they do have, he hit a home run later in the game, so I'm not going to kill Soto, but I just can't believe he bunted. It drives me nuts. In the first inning, 3-0 count, and our superstar, the guy we're begging ownership to pay $600 million to keep here, on a 3-0 count in the first inning is bunting with a runner on first base, nobody out. In the first inning is bunting. My God, what the hell was that? And then Judge gets on, because why the hell would you pitch to him? And then bink, bink, bink. Gleyber Torres strikes out swinging at a high fastball way above the zone. Verdugo strikes out, and then the newest Yankee, J.D. Davis, goes down looking. And I know what you were thinking, Met fans. I know what you were thinking, but not this year, not right now, not with this Yankee team. I know you were thinking J.D. Davis was going to stick it to you. I know you were thinking J.D. Of course. We're about to get out of this inning, and J.D. Davis is going to rip one up the gap. J.D. Davis is going to hit a grand slam. I don't know, something. But not right now, not with this New York Yankee team, who is just absolutely struggling. And the bottom of this lineup is in dire straits, especially against left-handed pitching. And yesterday's going to be known as the Gleyber Torres game, really, because Gleyber Torres gave you a little bit of everything. Struck out with bases loaded first inning, did absolutely nothing, struck out his next at-bat as well, so he had terrible at-bats. He did draw a walk later in the game, but had terrible at-bats all game. With the infield in, trying to keep a deficit down, has a ball hit right at him and allows it to get under his glove. And then in his final at-bat, after Judge just hit a grand slam to bring the score within 9-7, he hits a very soft, topped, rolled over, ground ball to short, and doesn't have it in him to run to first base. He gave you everything. He gave you everything last night. And look, I'm open to benching Gleyber Torres. And here's my point with Gleyber. I want to make sure I'm very clear about this, because I'm getting too much, you're defending Gleyber Torres. I am not defending Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres was horse poop last night, which, by the way, reminds me of something. I'll tell you after the break about my drive-in. I almost had a heart attack driving in. But Gleyber Torres was terrible. He's been terrible all year. Here's what I'll say about Gleyber Torres. I don't think the Yankees have a legitimate option other than trusting Gleyber Torres. I don't think there's another option. Until the trade deadline, where maybe you can trade for... I don't think you can trade Gleyber Torres. Again, unless you are really willing to trade Gleyber Torres away to someone who is willing to give you a know-nothing prospect for him. If you want to trade him to another playoff team who thinks that a change of scenery will help him out and he can help them offensively at second base, and they're willing to give you a middling, not-so-good reliever or a low-level prospect, if you think getting rid of Gleyber Torres, if you're at the point of it's addition by subtraction, then maybe you can trade him away, but you have to bring in a second baseman, because the answer isn't here. I do not believe it's Joe. I mean, maybe if Birdie comes back healthy, I suppose. But the answer isn't here. So here's what I'll tell you. Gleyber Torres, and this is not defending him, this is just a fact. Last year, Gleyber Torres was their best hitter. That's a year ago. Not all the way back to 2019, where he was better than he was last year. I'm not saying he was a superstar last year. But Gleyber Torres last year hit 25 home runs and had an 800 OPS. That is a good, solid baseball player. That was last year. He's 27 years old. I can't believe, offensively at least, he's this bad. Is he this much of a losing player? You bet you. And I'm done with him. But they don't have a better option right now, at least until the trade deadline. And they need him. And so when Boone says they need him, I agree. They need him. I talked about it yesterday. Gleyber Torres is the guy I'm looking to make up for Stan's absence, to step up in Stan's absence. So I actually like hitting him clean up yesterday. Now, I can't do it forever as he continues to fade under the pressure, but you know what? I liked challenging him and telling him and making a statement by the lineup card and saying, hey, look, we're down Stanton. We have struggled against left-handed hitting. Even guys I could possibly supplant you with, like Cabrera, Oswaldo Cabrera, he's so bad right-handed that he's almost giving up on it. I got no other options, bud. I need you to get back to the player you were last year. And enough with this crap. I like challenging him, hitting him cleanup. Because again, much like Gerrit Cole, getting Gleyber Torres going is even more important than this one game. Now, you want to say it's impossible to get him going? Okay, it's impossible. Nothing, it's not impossible. There will come a point where it no longer is worth it. But right now, in the situation they're in with Stanton down over the next month before you get to the trade deadline, Gleyber Torres is the second baseman. They don't have a better option. Like, I've been getting on Jeff McNeil, and I got a tweet about this. Well, you get on Jeff McNeil and he can't play. Why do you say Gleyber Torres is the only option? They have Iglesias who came up and hit. And Jeff McNeil has been terrible like this for a year and a half. Gleyber Torres, when Judge wasn't playing, which was a lot of last year, was the Yankees' best hitter. That happened less than 12 months ago. Gleyber Torres has got to get his act together. And they've got to, I mean, I'm fed up with him too, and I'm done with him. Believe you me. I don't care what, I'm not even coming close. He would take it, so it's, at this point, it's ridiculous. I'm not giving him the qualifying offer. At this point, that's obvious. But I'm done. He is not the New York Yankee second baseman next year. Over. Done. Done with it. I'm fed up with Gleyber Torres. And the second that they have a better option, I will join the crowd. I'll be right there with you. Anybody but Gleyber. Right, I just got a text. It's not who but Gleyber. Anybody but Gleyber. Anybody but Gleyber? You say that. You say that. At least Gleyber gives you... I know you guys don't believe this, but at least Gleyber gives you a chance of getting hot as a 27-year-old who was an 800 OPS guy last year and becoming something. Jones isn't going to become anything. He's not good enough to help you. All right, so he won't kill you the way Gleyber killed you last night. Fine, I get it. Gleyber has the moments. But Gleyber also has an ability, possibly, to get something going. You have to try. I'm still there on that. He's horse crap right now. He's been absolutely garbage. I don't think he's a winning player. And the second they have a better option, I'm looking to get rid of him. But I can't until I have a better option. That's where the Yankees are with him. And DJ LeMahieu right now is just as bad. And both of them look like they're moping and that they've got their tails tucked between their legs. Eric and Ron Conklin, real quick before the top. What's going on, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C-Mac. Good morning.
Good morning, yeah, sir. What's up?
The seventh or eighth inning? Yeah, I played with LeMahieu. That was surprising to see. But before I get into the game fully, you know, you mentioned like the DJ, JD, you know, stuff with the Knicks.
Yes.
I mean, how about both Carolina and the Islanders having Sebastian Aho for the last 2 years worth of playoffs? I mean, that was hard to keep track of. But, you know, they each have their own Sebastian Aho. So that
yes.
was...
that's true. It's weird when you have... Yeah, and then the Jets had two Michael Carters.
Right.
Very, very weird. Very weird.
Yeah. So... look, I mean, obviously I'm prefacing this being a Met fan. So, but I was saying to one of my coworkers, I said, you know, you can't get much better overall than, you know, the Mets coming out bombing Cole, right?
Yep.
But at the same time, you get a grand slam from Judge, right? And the Mets hold on to win the game. I mean, you got a lot of everything from that game where initially it looked like it was pretty lopsided at one point.
No, I know. It ends up being 9-7. It doesn't feel that way, especially for Yankee fans. I know the Met fans were sweating it And thank you for the call, Eric. And ultimately, I mean, we're killing the offense. They scored 7 runs. I mean, but that doesn't, believe me, I'm still killing the offense. I'm not saying that I excuse them, but I'm just saying they did score 7 runs. You know, Judge is responsible for 5 of them. But they need, you know, but as far as Mets go, yeah, you're 100% right. This offense has been what you hoped. It's actually been better than what you hoped it would be. But you went into the year figuring the offense would be the strength of the game, the team, excuse me. That's what the team was going to be. Right, you knew the rotation was going to be a real weak spot. It's actually been better than you thought, but that was your fear. The rotation would be a disaster. You added some pieces to the bullpen, and you had Diaz coming back, so you thought maybe the bullpen could be okay. But you were really banking on the idea of Alonso having a big year, the idea of Lindor continuing to have another good year. Nimmo, McNeil maybe bouncing back after. If you look at his career, he's kind of had the really good year, down year, good year, down year. And he was up for a good year, but he's been terrible. But you added J.D. Martinez right before the season started. Your strength was supposed to be the offense. And it killed you for the first 2 half of the months. The offense was terrible. And now it's been even better for the last month than you hoped. It's been great. Top to bottom, the team has been great. And they're good, legitimate hitters. I don't look at it as fluky. Now they're hot. They'll go through another somewhat cold stretch or something. Everyone on the team is hot right now. They're playing as good as they can play. And they'll come a little bit back to earth, but I don't know if I expect them to go back to the real malaise they were in at the first two months of the season. I think they're going to be better than that. You know, you're never quite as good as you are when you're winning, and you're never as bad as you are when you're losing. And this Met offense right now has been phenomenal. And I expect it to be really good. I don't expect it to be phenomenal forever, but I expect it to be really good. And Alvarez has made a real dynamic change inside this offense and inside this lineup. And right now, and whatever, whether it's Ben Gamel or whoever else is playing right field, whether it's McNeil, you can live with it for a while with Marte on the IL. And they've done it against really good starting pitching, and they're going to have another opportunity to do it against a good starting pitcher later today as Luis Gil will take the mound. And I'm telling you right now, Met fans, enjoy it. Because I know I'm yelling about it now. They yell about it during the day. The Bridges trade kind of, it didn't eliminate it, but it dampened it. It gave us something else to talk about and something to be excited about because we're all Knicks fans. But make no mistake, if the Mets go out there and pound Luis Gil, and it looks like it did yesterday, and at one point it's 6-0, it's 7-2, it's just one of those games that gets away from the Yankees. Luis Gil gets pounded. The offense does nothing. After that game, the New York Yankees and the fan base are going to be sent into a tizzy by this Met team for the first time since I can remember. I don't even know if it ever happened, where the Mets literally were the team that made us all feel like the season was just completely over, which is ridiculous because the Yankees will still be in first place. But that's the fan base we have. 3:58, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 2 hours down, one more to go. We got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warmer show. Still plenty to do. Plenty to talk about. What do you think of the trade? Met fans, how pumped are you? The offense looks terrific. And for Yankee fans, is there any hope left? If you're looking for hope, just look in Baltimore right now. As the Yankees actually picked up ground, amazingly enough.